Welcome to the Middletown United Methodist Church podcast, the perfect way to catch up on previous Sunday sermons.
Good morning. We are living in unprecedented times. There have been other pandemics in the last 70 years that many of us have lived through, but none of them have impacted community life like this one. Trent mentioned this week that a seminary didn't offer a class on being a pastor or how to be the church in the midst of a pandemic. And so as a pastor and as a congregation, we're trying to figure out how to continue to be who we've been called to be in the midst of this experience that none of us have ever been in before. Our congregation has many activities throughout the week, but Sunday morning worship is the one time when we all come together as a community to spend time together worshiping. Gathering for worship is who we are, and it's what we do as the church. And not to have worship feels like that there is a huge part of us that's missing. Canceling worship has always been a difficult situation for me, and it's a decision that I don't take lightly. And this decision was equally as difficult today. Just this past Wednesday, we were studying in the book of James in Bible study about the royal law. That is, that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. The most visible way that the church loves its neighbor has been through ways of like meeting physical needs, of providing food and clothes and shelter, providing emotional support in times of crisis, or providing spiritual direction. Loving our neighbor in all of these ways is most usually done by being present with people. However, in the midst of this unprecedented situation, the best way that we can love our neighbor, though, is by social distancing. As difficult as it is to cancel worship for those of us who are accustomed to worshiping every week, canceling worship today is the best way for us to love our neighbor. I encourage all of you to practice social distancing as much as you can, not only for your own safety, but also for the safety of others in the community. This morning for the message, I would like to read a passage from the Gospel of Mark, the 15th chapter, beginning with verse 20. And would you hear the Word of God? After mocking Jesus, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him, and then they led him out to crucify him. They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. His name was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. And then they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Fill our hearts and our minds with your presence today. May your Holy Spirit, O God, open our minds to what you would have us hear. Open our hearts to the ways that we need to be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen. When Sarah Mills was 46 years old, she wandered into an unfamiliar church, ate a piece of bread, took a sip of wine. Until that moment, she had had no interest in religion. She was raised in a secular home, had remained skeptical of what she had seen of the church, particularly its more fundamentalist iterations. She had never been baptized, never read much of the Bible, never prayed the Lord's Prayer. But at St. Gregory Episcopal Church in San Francisco, someone invited Sarah to the table. And then something outrageous and terrifying happened, she says. Jesus happened to me. Sarah felt dizzy, overwhelmed, charged with life, filled. Suddenly, she believed. I can't believe the experience with, or I can't reconcile the experience with anything I knew or had been told, Sarah writes. But neither could I go away. For some inexplicable reason, I wanted that bread again. I wanted it all that next day after my first communion, and the next week, and the next week. It was a sensation as urgent as physical hunger, pulling me back to the table. So with her bewildered family's support, Sarah went back to St. Gregory the next Sunday, and the Sunday after that, and the Sunday after that. Not only did she convert to Christianity, but she devoted her entire self to a religion rooted in the most ordinary but yet subversive practice, a dinner table. A dinner table where everyone is welcome. Whether despised and the outcast are honored. It may have been Holy Communion that got Sarah's attention that day, but it was the relationships at St. Gregory that gave her the ability to grow in her faith. She would go on to become the director of ministry at St. Gregory. And from that position, she started the food pantry, which provides fresh groceries to 400 families every Friday. The point here is that someone lifted Sarah up, and now she's lifting others up. On this third Sunday in Lent, we are actually combining four of the Stations of the Cross, all of them dealing with a time when Jesus fell under the weight of the cross. But the scripture we've chosen to focus on today is the one where Simon picks up Jesus' cross and carries it for him. At one time or another, we all fall under the weight of challenges in our life, and we also become aware of others who have fallen under the weight of challenges. And during those challenges, we need a Simon in our lives to help us carry our load. And then at other times, we need to be a Simon helping others carry their heavy loads. Those challenges that we often face can be physical or emotional or spiritual or relational. Anything that weighs us down and becomes a burden that is difficult to bear. Much like this current crisis that we're living in as a world today, has become a heavy weight laying on each and every one of us. Leonard Sweet writes this, "The way to save the world is not through more rules to live by, but through right relationships to live for." People are fast losing the art of being with one another. So it's not surprising that the number one problem in the world is people living disconnected lives. We are detached from God, we're detached from others, and even from creation. People are losing the art of living with one another. Sweet says that relationship is the soul of the universe, and the universe is sick. It is within relationships that we can best bear one another's weight, bear one another's burdens. We're living in this tension today where we are more connected than ever before and at the same time have fewer deep relationships. It's been said that digital technology makes interaction easier, but intimacy harder. We can know what's happening around the world in an instant. We can know what our friends are having for dinner, and matter of fact, we can even see what they're having for dinner. But having all of this information doesn't make for deep relationships, because relationships require time and effort. Without time and effort invested into relationships, they are at best superficial. And at worst, they disappear altogether. Maintaining meaningful relationships is it's hard work. It requires that we take time with one another to stay connected. And staying connected means more than making a Facebook post or liking somebody else's post. It means that we talk and communicate in ways beyond what we had for dinner. It means entering into the joy and more especially into the pain of people's lives and walking with them through their lives. And walking with people means that, yes, we're there to celebrate with them, but we're also there to support them, to encourage them. In other words, we're there to help them carry the burden that they have become too weak to carry for themselves. Not only do we do these things for others, but we hope also that others will do them for us. I suspect you don't have to think very hard to come up with a name of someone who at some point in your life has helped you carry a burden when you've been too weak to carry it yourself. May have been a family member, a friend, may have been someone from your Sunday school class or someone you worship with. But then also, I hope that you can remember a time when you helped carry someone else's burden for them. We can understand and appreciate the need for relationships with one another, for we've all experienced relationships of some kind. Some of those relationships were longer than others. Some of them were deeper than others. But we know what it's like to have relationships with others. And even though we know and have experienced those relationships, some people struggle with having a relationship with the risen Christ. However, it was the risen Christ who carried a heavy burden for us. He carried the burden of our sins all the way to Golgotha so that we could have a relationship with Him. People see and understand Christianity in a lot of different ways. Some see Christianity as philosophical propositions that guides their lives. Those propositions guide their interaction with others. They guide their participation in the congregation. Some see Christianity as the moral standards and rules by which to live. And those standards and rules determine how they relate to others and how they see and understand God. Some believe that Christianity is about believing a certain doctrine. And the doctrines determine how they understand the Bible, how they worship, and why they participate or don't participate in missions. Some believe that Christianity is about following and participating in a set of rites and rituals prescribed by the church, and that all one needs to do is follow those rites and rituals. But you know, I tend to agree with Dr. Sweet that at the heart of Christianity is relationships. Relationships with Christ and with others. The Christian faith is built on this multiplicity and complexity of relationships. God to God, God to human, human to human, human to creation, God to creation. Yes, even creation. We also need to carry the weight and the burden of creation. If we don't care for God's creation, then our children and grandchildren will not enjoy what we have enjoyed in our life. But that's a whole nother sermon for another day. But yet woven throughout this multiplicity and complexity of these relationships are those philosophical propositions, those moral standards, the doctrine, the rites and rituals, all of which are designed to help us develop and deepen our relationship with Christ. It is relationship that is at the top that is supported by all of those other perspectives. In this season of Lent, leading up to Easter and to the resurrection, it is the resurrection that makes our relationships possible. If Christ is alive and God has sent the Holy Spirit, then we can have a relationship with the Holy Trinity. It is in our relationship with the risen Christ It's there that we find inspiration, comfort, strength, wisdom, guidance. A relationship with the risen Christ is like any other relationship, though. It requires time and effort. Our relationship with Christ deepens when we participate in activities that connect us to Christ. And those connection points are different for everyone. Some make that connection through silence and solitude. Others make that connection through conversation. Some make that connection through prayer or through reading scripture or listening to music or through service or worship, and the list can go on and on. For many, though, like Sarah Miles, the celebration of Holy Communion is one of the most powerful connections to the risen Christ. And so when Sarah wandered into St. Gregory that Sunday morning, as much as that Holy Communion is what drew her in and connected her, it wasn't just the bread and the wine that changed her life. It was her encounter with the risen Christ. As she said, something outrageous and terrifying happened. Jesus happened to me. And Jesus is what gives her and gives us the power and the inspiration we need to carry the burdens of those around us. So my prayer for you today and for the days ahead is that we can be aware of the people around us, that we'll be able to see those who are carrying a heavy burden, and that we'll be able to lift that burden. You'll also be in my prayers as the days to come as we figure out how to live in the midst of this crisis that we're in, for that is a heavy burden for all of us to bear. But may we follow Christ. May we trust in His guidance. And may we live and love our neighbor as much as we love ourselves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to stay connected to Middletown UMC in other ways, you can visit our website, our Facebook page, or download our church app. If you would like to show support to the church and the ministries that help so many, you can use our online giving feature on the website or app. Have a blessed day.